Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
All right, welcome back, everybody, for the last 25 minutes of the program today. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Steve Polka Dot Jordahl joins us now.
Hey.
Huh?
Just call me Wonder Bread. That's what everybody says when they see the shirt.
With the jacket.
Yep. Well, you got to mute it a little bit, everybody.
Otherwise, I've never known you to want to mute. Yeah. Your shirts.
Or anything else for that matter.
Well, it's true.
How did the concert go, Steve?
Oh, we had such a good time. Thank you for asking. So for those of you who might not have listened yesterday, I sing with the Columbus Choral Society, and we were joking around yesterday because I had my tux with me at work. I wasn't wearing it at the time, but we had a concert. It was great. Had wonderful. I have the program in front of me. Wonderful music, and I brought in about 30 seconds. If you want to hear, this is the last 30 seconds of a song, the name of the song. Now, this is a secular, it's a community choir, so it's not inherently religious. A lot of Christians, obviously, we're Mississippi, sing with us and everything, but this song is, the title of this song is Romans 11, 33 to 36, which you might imagine has to do with the book of Romans. It's basically a quotation of the scripture, and it's by David Danner. This is the last 30 seconds of the song. Just to give you a sense, and the sound was taken from the back of the room. We weren't tied into the soundboard, so it's a little bit echoey, but I think you'll get a sense. Listen to this.
That's excellent. No, listen, that makes me want to sing. In fact, no.
I can give you lessons.
No.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You can't teach dogs to sing, and that's about how hard it would be to teach me to sing well.
You know what? I have a degree in this.
Okay.
I can do it.
What do you call that kind of music right there?
Choral music.
Okay.
It's sacred choral music.
Like a coral reef?
Spelled differently.
Spelled differently.
Okay. Choral music.
Yeah.
C-H-O-R-A-L-E.
No E.
No E.
Chorale.
I was asking a question. I know the answer to, but I was just curious that what that genre would be called. It'd be called choral music.
Called choral music. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is a lot of beautiful voices there. And do y'all have tryouts for that?
Yes. Auditions.
Auditions, not tryouts. If you have tryouts or auditions, some people don't make it.
Yeah.
Who breaks that news to?
The director. I mean, you get an email.
You get an email saying.
Thank you for auditioning. We encourage you to maybe work a little bit more on your craft and come back next year.
One of my favorite episodes of the Andy Griffith Show was when Barney wanted to join the church choir, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he was terrible. It was pretty funny because he would... Everyone could tell somebody was singing off key, and so Barney kind of sidled up to the director, and he said, I'll keep an ear out for who it is. And then it became obvious that it was Barney, and nobody wanted to tell him he couldn't be on.
So this is a choral group. You audition, and either you make it, or you get told you don't sing good enough to make it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with athletics.
Yeah, sports or anything else. Yeah. So I've often wondered, though, how do churches –
Well, so this is different.
Should we enter into this conversation?
Absolutely, we can.
I've never been in that. I've never gone out for the choir, or you know what I'm saying. I'm a man who understands his limitations.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Like Clint Eastwood would say.
Yes. So, but I've also often been curious how that's.
I was a music minister for 10 years, so I have had to deal with
this. All right, we're going inside.
That's right. This is the inside
baseball.
All right, tell us what happened. How's this
the
work?
The bar is a lot lower. The goal is a lot different with a church choir than it is with this kind of choir. This kind of choir, their goal is to make beautiful music and to make quality, difficult music. To take the choral, the sacred or classical choral music that's a little more inaccessible to the average person, so that you can go and hear something that you appreciate. I mean, it's not just like you're going to hear
like
church choir.
It's like an orchestra of instrumentalists. I mean, you got to be good to make a beautiful sound.
That's right. And so, but at church,
you make a joyful sound.
Well,
it's not always a beautiful sound.
A joyful noise. The purpose is dual in a church. You do want to have excellence in church. I am a big believer that God gifts certain people within the church to do things that the average church person can't do in order to express things that are with excellence. For example, I remember seeing a dancer in a church service. It was Easter. And
was it a tiny dancer? Or was it a large dancer?
It was a dancer-sized woman dancer, but she was
okay, average
really
size?
Good. Average size.
Okay.
It's not, you know, athletically. But anyway, I think it was to Via Dolorosa. Remember that Sandy Patty song?
Yeah.
On the Via Dolorosa.
Yeah. Right.
And she did things that made you just weep with passion when you saw her interpret that thing. And the thought came to me, and I went up to her afterwards, and I said, you know what? I can't dance. I can't dance if you tie me to a dancer, and I can't do it. But if I could dance, that's what I would want to do. And it's the same thing with good music.
Yeah, but what do you do with somebody who wants to sing a solo in church and they're bad?
No,
but they think they're good. What do you do with that person?
You tell them no.
I'll tell you what you do.
All right, what do you do, Ed?
As a pastor?
Yeah.
You tell them, this is what I want you to tell the congregation. Don't listen to me. Listen to the words.
No. You don't let them say
it. I feel like you've heard that before.
I have heard that many times. Don't listen to me. Listen to the words. Well, you know what? I can't really hear the words because you're so bad at singing them.
I mean, you wouldn't put somebody up to read scripture that didn't know how to read.
No.
But somebody's got to tell them. You don't say worth a lick. You think you do. You think you're good, but you're not. Now go home.
This is your job.
Somebody's got to tell them that.
It's like what's the show that was so popular? America's Got Talent or whatever.
Yeah. Idol or yeah.
American Idol. That's what it was. Remember, they would always have people come on, and they would. There were always people that their family and friends always told them, "You're awesome. You should go on American Idol." And you're listening to her or watching me.
And then that Simon dude says, "You're horrible."
Yes.
And that make them cry.
That was a setup because they knew. They let certain people, a lot of people that auditioned, they don't get in front of the judges. They let certain
They were always family and friends say, I'm
like
good.
That one.
So a pastor, and Ed, you'd know this, a pastor has to have certain skills. As a music pastor, I have to know music and be able to conduct music.
No, I understand that, but somebody's got to tell them they're not as good as they think they are, and that's a hard thing to do,
Let me finish. A pastor has to have those musical skills, but he also has to have pastoral skills, which are relationship skills, which means when you have to tell somebody, listen, I think I've heard you sing and I believe God has gifted you in children's work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a way to say it that values the person, and it's pastoral gift.
You have to sort of shade the truth.
There's a bar you have to meet, and it's lower than the bar that I have to meet in this choral group.
Okay,
but there still is a bar.
As a pastor, what I tell someone who's trying out for the church choir, it depends how much they give to the church. I'm just kidding.
I think that's fair. You got to have some kind of standard.
That's sinful.
You want to up your tithe, you get to sing. I don't think – why is that unscriptural?
That's sinful.
Huh?
That's sinful. I was just kidding. I was just joking about sin, Tim. You appear to be serious.
Wow.
I'm just saying you got certain criteria. I don't know why giving couldn't be one of them.
Okay? Every church I've
gone to. You meet this minimal threshold.
No. You're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to show partiality.
Every church I've ever gone to, the pastor says proudly, "I don't know who my finance team, the secretary, whatever they know, whoever does the books. Right. I have no idea who gives what in this church." And I think that's probably wise.
Isn't it? I won't be badgering you, but they will.
Right.
That's what he's saying. All right. All right. Let's get on.
Let's get on to some serious.
We're past
news.
Choir tryouts.
Okay.
So that was pretty interesting. I hope our listeners thought so.
Behind the scenes.
I can talk about that all day. It's a passion of mine. All right. Yeah. So we had an interesting thing that happened. I guess it was Tuesday. There's a lawsuit going on between Fox News and Dominion voting systems. Dominion Voting Systems is suing Fox News. Now, Dominion was the group, one of the companies that made the voting machine. So you go into the polls, you push your vote, and it tallies it and it sends it to the Secretary of State, and that's how they know who wins the election. Well, 2020 came around, and nobody trusted, or at least a lot of people didn't think that was on the up and up for a variety of reasons, but one of the reasons that was expressed on Fox News, if not, and in some cases by opinion people on Fox News, and certainly by some guests on Fox News, was we're not sure that the Dominion systems were on the up and up. Can you hack them? Can they be trusted? Well, Dominion thought that was basically slander or defamation, and they sued Fox News. They sued them for a lot of money, billions of dollars. Well, Fox settled with Dominion Tuesday to the tune of $787.5 million. They resolved the lawsuit, and Dominion was able to do this. Even though this is a settlement and you generally in a settlement don't admit any liability, Dominion did, according to the New York Times, this is their language, Dominion exacted a difficult admission from Fox News, which acknowledged in a statement that certain claims, in quotes, it made about Dominion were false.
Yeah, and we need to be fair when we don't need to be fake news, so we need to be fair when we report on what's happening. And Fox blew it in terms of journalistic standards by allowing its on-air personalities to talk about Dominion voting systems and make statements that were either false or that could not be proven, that were damaging to the company's reputation. The suit was originally for like $1.6 billion, so it basically was cut in half. It could have been far more damaging. I'm not sure how Fox pays those kinds of things. They probably have some sort of insurance.
Well, that and they're
them,
making
that's a bunch of money.
They're making money hand over fist as the leading cable news.
So you're saying that Fox wrote Dominion a check?
Correct.
Are they going to write a check for
$787.5 million?
Billion dollars.
Million M. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Okay.
And what it does is not only does it half or the damages that they were seeking, but it keeps Fox News personalities from having to get up on the stand and testify. It stops the discovery process where Dominion gets into all Fox's internal communications, and it just Fox says, make this go away.
Yeah.
What are they going to do if Trump comes on and says, you know, I got cheated in 2020, and he comes on Fox News and says that?
I think Fox is okay. I think everybody's okay with that as long as he doesn't say, and Dominion was responsible.
Well, they'll have to correct him. On air.
They shouldn't have to correct him if he just said
I don't think they're going to let him go on live.
They might not. I mean, this is a...
I wouldn't let him go on live. Now, listen, we're not here to argue things that we can't prove or know or think may have happened here. What we're talking about here is a court case that was settled.
Right.
Fox News said we're paying nearly $800 million to Dominion because, you know what, we messed up big time.
Yeah.
And we don't want it to be any more. And Dominion said, okay, write us a check for that. We'll call it even. That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
And what I'm talking about is that, you know, as President Trump is, you know, as he reminds us often, he believes that the election was stolen or rigged.
Right.
2020. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, now with this lawsuit settled, I wonder if they if Fox would be nervous about having him on if he's going to make these kinds of claims again in an interview. Now, I mean, you may be right. Maybe as long as he doesn't say, well, Dominion used their company name in an accusation, maybe they would be okay.
Along with the settlement with always comes some fine print. You can't say, you know, if moving forward, you're not allowed to do this or that or the other. You can't discuss any of the terms of the settlement. It's a non-disclosure. There's all kinds of that stuff. And there may be something from the judge which says you can or can't say certain things. But from my very limited legal knowledge about something like this, I don't think you can keep anybody from saying the 2020 election was stolen. I'm not making a for or against argument against that here.
Somebody, I was reading on a news site that said Dominion is also suing Newsmax.
Oh, they're going from Fox. They're going to a whole bunch of different.
They're going after some of President Trump's legal team, too. I think maybe Rudy Giuliani and some others.
Why did they say Dominion?
Yes.
Dominion is the Nick Sandman of the liberal side.
Right.
Nick got all these defamation.
All right, listen. Okay, what I'm about to say is just an observation. Again, how much this stuff in 2020, you know, you can't prove or you can't know for certain, especially when you start talking about technological issues, okay?
Right.
And ballot stuffing and that kind of stuff.
Ballot harvesting,
okay, and mail-in votes and all that
stuff. And, yeah.
But when you start talking about if you start accusing a particular company and their livelihood is built on the integrity of their business, and you start talking out loud about them, about things you can't prove, even if you suspect it, you're going to be sued.
Right.
So in court, if you're going to make these claims, you better have somebody who's able to prove it.
Exactly.
Yes.
And evidently, Fox News couldn't prove it.
No.
That is, that Dominion was rigging the election.
Or that Trump. It was hackable and hacked.
Right. Right. So.
And behind the scenes, we kind of found out that even the hosts that were saying on air, well, we have questions about the election, off the air and in private communication said, we don't think that there were these problems. This is an interesting thing, though. I want you to hear a lawyer. Her name is a lawyer for Dominion. This is after the settlement. She comes out, does a press conference. She's thanking the mainstream media for helping them with their case against Fox, which I think is fascinating, if not stunning. So this would be cut six.
One last thank you, which is really to all of you for being with us on this journey. We appreciate what you've done to help us and to help expose what we were able to discover over the course of this process. And so thank you, and we'll see you at the next one.
I'm not sure it's the media's job to help somebody win a lawsuit against a competitor.
Could she just be saying thank you for covering the story?
That's the way I interpret it.
Well, yeah, but then listen to this. This is Jake Tapper. This is what the media thinks about Fox. This is Jake Tapper also commenting on the same thing, Cut 7.
Fox trying to put a positive face on what can only be interpreted as one of the ugliest and most embarrassing moments in the history of journalism. Fox issued a statement saying, quote, we are pleased to have reached a settlement of our dispute. With Dominion Voting Systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. The settlement reflects... I'm sorry, this is going to be difficult to say with a straight face. This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our... We are hopeful that our decision to resolve the dispute with Dominion amicably instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial allows the country to move forward from these issues.
Listen, CNN and Fox hate each other.
Yeah.
So anytime CNN has a misstep or their ratings are down, guess what? It's all over Fox News, and it's going to be vice versa. So CNN's gloating right now because this does make Fox look bad, at least for now. I mean, you write somebody a $780 million check, you're admitting we did some really bad things. Jake Tapper, I don't care for him at all, but I'm just saying that doesn't surprise me that he's doing He's mocking Fox News right there.
They're mocking and slam dunking them everywhere except in the ratings, where they are losing.
Right, which
badly.
Is part of why Jake Tapper is gloating.
Yeah,
is because there's probably some jealousy and envy as well towards Fox. And you know what? This is going to be a blip in terms of Fox's popularity. The people who like Fox News are going to continue to like Fox News. The people who hate Fox News are going to continue to hate it.
I agree.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Evan Tagliano and Steve Jordahl. We got 5 minutes left, Steve.
All right. Interesting thing going on in the Senate. The Senate is responsible for advice and consent and approving any judicial nominee that the president puts forward. They have to go to a federal judge. They have to go in front of the Senate. And the Senate has to approve them. Well, the Senate, being that Congress is, or the Senate is so close, Republican and Democrat, every member counts. Dianne Feinstein, 80 some years old,
she's
oldest,
164,
right? The oldest member.
She's from California, a Democrat. She was
San Francisco,
born during the 49er.
Not the football team.
The gold rush.
The gold rush. Well, she was born during the gold rush.
She has been out, and she's been out for a while, and don't know when she's coming back. But that means that they don't have the votes to pass any of these nominees. They're stalled because it's tied up.
In the Senate Judiciary Committee.
And so Chuck Schumer wanted to put a temporary person on the Democrat on the committee so they could move through some of these judicial nominees. Mitch McConnell was having none of it. We're not doing this just so you can put some of the worst nominees we've ever seen on the bench. I'm saying it's interesting to think
this
about.
Is you talking or Mitch McConnell talking?
What I just said was Mitch McConnell. This is kind of what I was thinking. It's interesting to think that perhaps the Democrats made their own bed when they started saying, we're not going to allow you to put certain members on the J6 committee, for example. That was a brand new.
That's a Rubicon.
Right.
I know what that means.
crossing the Rubicon.
I studied that crossing the Rubicon metaphor. Listen, right here, in the give credit where credit is due, Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, much maligned by conservatives for sometimes valid reasons over the years. He did the right thing right there. Mitch McConnell did. He said no to Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. You're not going to put some substitute teacher on something as important as the Senate Judiciary Committee. So what was his quote? Mitch McConnell's quote?
Mitch McConnell's quote is, let's be clear, Senate Republicans will not take part in sidelining a temporary absent colleague off a committee just so Democrats can force through their very worst nominees.
Well, thumbs up to Mitch McConnell on that one.
Right.
Huh?
I'm in agreement. Also grateful to his stand in keeping Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court.
Right. Mitch McConnell, you're talking
about. Mitch McConnell, the closing year of the Obama administration, because Merrick Garland, in his disastrous governance of the Justice Department, is showing himself to be incompetent and radical.
Yeah,
you can only throw him so far.
You going to try out for Steve's choral group?
Come on.
Ed?
I am not.
You might want to, huh?
We need practice.
No, there's
maybe,
no. You might
tomorrow.
Wanna.
Maybe tomorrow you can audition for our listeners and let them weigh in, vote yes or no.
Not going to happen. I love our listeners, but
may
I'm
the
not subjecting myself to that kind of.
To Ed, I say, may the Boston Bruins win tonight.
Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow.